What we're going to talk about today is the Ministry of Reconciliation. Your testimony...
I did too. I thought you...
All right, another professional tape of the month here. I remember one time in Grand Junction, something happened, and Gene sent me this tape in Germany, and somebody screamed, and somebody else did something, and somebody was beating on something. Gene says, for those of you that aren't here, he said, you'll never know what just happened. It was a spider. Anyway, Isaiah 32, we'll start at verse 1 and 2. He says, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. So who's the king? Right. Who are the princes? Us. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, and rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. You know what that means is that when we're walking in a spirit of judgment, in a right spirit of judgment, when we're judging ourselves, and when we're looking to be a covering to other people, it says that they'll be as a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, and rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. So, that's the spirit of what we should be walking with in this ministry. That's who we should be. And that's what I heard in Linda's testimony. That's what she's doing. She's looking to have love and covering, you know, for her kids and for her grandkids. But it wouldn't have happened if she hadn't started by identifying her familiar spirits and walking in the operation of God to come out from under the power of the spirits of lying and hiddenness and control and pride and rebellion and all those things. If she hadn't started walking out of that and had that encounter with the Lord, what happened to her at the ball game with her grandkids would have never happened. And, you know, I mean, I thought her testimony, it was just perfect. Because it's exactly what the Lord's saying to us. And, you know, I think a thing that we need to ask ourselves from time to time is, you know, what is the spirit of this ministry? What's the main message that you've heard from the very beginning? Anybody tell me? One main message. Yeah, judge yourself. What's the other one? It's two parts. Lose your life. But I was thinking of something else. Speaking truth one to another, but overcoming your familiar sin. And I think it's good for us to think back and to remember these things, because I think that we forget. Wanna look at Hebrews 12. Before we go there, go to, I have these written down. Go to 2 Corinthians 5, 18 and 19. And if you'll follow along with me in this, I think that it'll paint a picture. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 and 19. And this has to do with reconciliation. And if you want to read about reconciliation, it's under 2971 in a Thompson chain. But it says, he says, "And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation." That's what Isaiah was talking about. In Isaiah 32, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about having the ministry of reconciliation. And it begins with us. It begins with us being honest with ourselves and being honest with the Lord about where we're really at. And you know, and I've been talking to several people the last couple days, and I've been talking to them about bringing Jesus into their circumstances. But it says in verse 18, it says, "And all things are of God, who has reconciled to us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation." He did it for us when he died on the cross. He reconciled us to God when he died on the cross. And if we have faith to believe that he died on the cross to pay for our sins, there's no way that we could pay for it. And if we just believe, you know, he says, if you believe in my name, and you call on my name, and you believe that I died on the cross for you, then you'll be saved. And, you know, I think that we forget that. But, you know, and yeah, what he did for us, we couldn't do, because there's no sacrifice that man could offer for his sins that God would accept. So the only sacrifice he could accept was his son, Jesus, who never committed any sins in his whole life. And even though he was tempted in every way like we are, he never committed a sin. And he became the Lamb of God. He became the perfect sacrifice that God could accept for the sins. He stood in proxy for us to pay for our sins and all the sins of all mankind. And he has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So to me, what this means is we show him our thankfulness for what he did for us by what we're going to do for somebody else. And he gave us the power. He gave us the power to overcome sin if we choose to. And he gave us all kinds of helps. He's given us the Holy Ghost. He's given us gifts. He's given us gifts and ministries of the Spirit. He's given us the offices of the church that are in our midst. You know, I was thinking yesterday, I was just out here, I was cutting some of these weeds out here by the ranch yesterday, and I just had a passing thought. I wonder how many churches are out there that have someone in their midst who has the office of an apostle and a prophet. In these days, not very many. In these days, people really don't know where to get the word of the Lord for their life. In these days, you know, nobody can really hear from the Lord and be a messenger to have the word of the Lord for us personally so that we can turn a corner on our sin. And you know what? We're really, we're spoiled.
Yeah.
We're so used to it. I mean, you know, it's like we eat really good, but we don't know how most of the world eats. And most of what they eat has to do with the doctrines of man. You know, something that some preacher learned in a Bible school. And it was something that he learned and something that he was taught, but it doesn't come because he had a conversion experience in his life, and therefore he has the life and the ministry of Jesus living in him to give it to somebody else. There are very few churches that have that anymore. And this ministry is really, really fortunate that we have apostles and prophets and elders in our ministry. But, you know, it's something that we get used to, and you know, I mean, it's understandable. I mean, when you're used to eating good, you don't know what it is to be hungry, then, you know, you take advantage of it. But it is something that we have. And so he says, all things are reconciled, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And he says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, this is what we are. And this is what we need to see that we are. I mean, some of us have prayed the prayer, you know, sure, you know, I want to be a man of God or I want to be a preacher, but we haven't been willing to pay the price for it. And he says, now then, we're all ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead that you be reconciled to God. And he goes on, you know, and the scriptures on reconciliation are really good. And if you get a chance, you know, like I said, they're under 2971. They're just really good scriptures. And so I thought it was really interesting that Linda shared her testimony, because it goes exactly in line with what we're talking about. So the question is, you know, what is the main message of this ministry? What has been the message that you've heard from the very beginning? Let's find it in scriptures. It's 1 Corinthians 11:31 and 32. And this says, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. That we wouldn't be condemned with the unsaved. That's what that means. And the second scripture is in Hebrews 12:1. And I think that we need to look at it, because we all go, oh yeah, I know what that says. But we know what it says, but we're hearers of the word, but we're not doers. Hebrews 12:1. So wherefore, seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and who are these witnesses? The spirits of the just men made perfect. those who have walked this way before us. We're not the first ones that ever did this. This isn't an original idea. The pattern has been laid before us from the beginning of the church. And so this is Paul speaking. He says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now here's the kicker. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And he says, consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you get weary and faint in your minds. But we have to go back to this. He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. The thing that affects our motivations, the thing that affects our thoughts, you know, whether it's pride or control or anger or rebellion or independence, you know, whatever it is, the thing that motivates us, we have to be able to identify it. And if we can't identify it, we don't know what the problem is. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I had some other scriptures that I want to just give you, but, you know, but I want to give you a little bit of a testimony, too. I guess, well, when did you go on your trip?
17th. Yeah.
Okay. Well, in the middle of July, you know, a lot of people have been talking to me about the bullet hole in the middle of my forehead. And, I mean, I didn't know what it was. And I thought, well, it's, you know, it's just a sore. There's a scripture that talks about it. There's a wound that refuses to be healed. And I mean, I'd never had anything like that before, and I never thought about it. And so, I mean, this has been a wound that's refused to heal. I've had it for over a year. It would start to scab, and then it'd break open and start bleeding again, you know. And I mean, I was just getting, you know, I was getting to the point where I was getting irritated with it. But, you know, somebody said, Bonnie said, you know, she says, I wonder if it's cancer. And I thought, nah, it's not cancer, you know. And, you know, because when you think of cancer, you think of someone who's just weak and sickly and, you know, like Chris was. I mean, that's what you think of. And so I thought, nah, that can't be it. And I said, you know, I said, every time I wash my hair and I dry it with a towel, it breaks the scab, and that's just what it is. And I mean, I was just going to live with it. But, you know, I went to the dentist, and he said something to me about it. And he said, you know, you really need to get this looked at. And I felt like, you know, I needed to do that. So I went and had a biopsy, And he said, well, he said, you got cancer. And I thought, well, okay. But, you know, I mean, a lot of people have skin cancer and it's no big deal. And, you know, they just cut it off or whatever. And, but I didn't know anything about it. And see, this is my point. And I want you to try to look at your soul in comparison to me examining my cancer. And so he says, you know, you got cancer and you need to have it cut out. This is how much it's going to cost. And I told him I can't afford it. And, you know, what else you got? And
can you choose another?
And so he kept making, the doctor kept making appointments, and they kept calling me. They're calling me, you know. I mean, how many doctors call you on the phone? And not in this country, but so they kept calling me, you know. And I said, well, you know, I can't do it now. We got things to do, and you know, we had a jump coming up, and you know, and so I was busy. And he says, you need to do something about this. He says, this isn't just like a broken arm or something. And he says, this isn't going to go away. He says, it's malignant melanoma. So we looked it up, and it was pretty scary.
I had the same response as him. Oh, skin cancer. 600,000 people have skin cancer. No problem. But then when we looked it up,
he said this can spread through your body, and he says it's malignant melanoma, he says, and you need to do something about it. And so I said, yeah, okay, you know, I'll call you back next week. And so I looked it up, you know, and it says it will take your life quickly. And it'll spread through your body and it'll take your life quickly. So I thought, well, we need to do something. So I was in faith for the surgery. I found faith for the surgery, and I found faith to pay the bill, which, I mean, I don't know where that came from, but, you know, but we were talking about it, you know, me and some of the brothers were talking about it, and, you know, and the subject of Black Sabbath came up. Well, I didn't really know what I thought about Black Sabbath because, you know, it didn't, you know, it wasn't recognized by the FDA, and I didn't know what I thought about it. But, you know, the more and more we talked about it, and I prayed about it, and I settled it in my heart, and I knew two things. I knew, one, I'm not done on this earth yet. So, you know, this thing's not going to do me in. I knew that. And the other thing that I knew was that Lord sets his wisdom before us if we call on him when we're in a time of trouble. And the wisdom that he was bringing before me was this Black Sabbath. So, you know, so Mike Wilson had some, and we went ahead and we did it. I just committed myself to the Lord at that point. And I'm not talking about Jesus saved me. I mean, I put my life in his hands and saying, okay, we're going to do this, this is it. So, in the meantime, the information starts coming in from CC, and mostly from CC, you know, and different sources, but the information starts coming in about what cancer is. Well, I didn't understand anything about it. And, you know, and this is the way the Lord works in our life. We have cancer living in us spiritually. It's called a besetting sin. It's the weight that so easily throws us out of the way of what the Lord wants us to walk in and how he wants us to live. That's our cancer. And he sets, so he gives us You know, he gives us an identification of what we have. If we don't have that identification, then we do what I kept doing, was just kept putting stuff on it, you know, whatever I could find, and hoping that it'd go away. But it doesn't work like that. And so we have to be able to identify our sin, and we have to be able to identify the operation of God in our life. And then, when we ID it, we need to start getting some understanding about it. It says, the prudent man understands his ways, but the foolishness of a fool is deceit. We lie to ourselves, we lie to other people, and so we don't understand things. I needed to get understanding as of what was going on in my body. And the one thing that I found out was that this process could have started 20 years ago. Well, 20 years ago, you know, I was freebasing cocaine and you know, doing meth. That's where I was at 20 years ago. So I was acidizing my body. And I didn't even know it. I mean, I just thought I was indestructible, like a lot of us think. And so, you know, so I needed to understand some things about what I had done and what I was doing.
Who has these cancer cells in their body, and they're asleep. It's the way it is. It's a long process, and I can explain it all, but the point is the cancer cells are asleep in your body. They're not really cancer cells. They're called sleeper cells. When we put something in our body that causes a reaction to wake these cells up, that's when they become cancerous. And they start building a slicky protein around themselves, and they can't be recognized by your immune system until enzymes come in and start eating the silky protein off. Then your body recognizes them and can fight them. And when he's talking about our besetting sins, there are sleeper cells floating around, and we have no idea they're there until something wakes them up. And then I know what I do. I build a silky protein around it. And then some enzyme has to come chew on my silky protein to get me to admit that I got a problem and my immune system needs to fight. But that's how a cancer cell works. It has to be woken up.
And so it cloaks itself, and the T cells in the body don't even recognize it.
No.
And you know, there's a couple of scriptures that talk about that. You know, one of them's in Timothy, and it says that there are spots in your feast. And, you know, you don't recognize them. I mean, there's a couple of scriptures like that. But anyway, so that's what the cancer was doing. It was cloaking itself, and so my body wasn't, the T cells in my body weren't fighting it. And what the black salve did, which is comparable to us walking in the ministry of reconciliation towards each other, the black salve identified it as a foreign object in the body that needed to be confronted and need to be dealt with. And you know, that's the way we should be towards each other. So let's go to Ephesians 5:11. And that's what I'm talking about. And these are familiar scriptures to a lot of us, but we forget. Ephesians 5:11 says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, and whatsoever is manifest is light. Wherefore, he says, awake you that sleep, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. See, then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And so, you know, I needed to get understanding to my situation. And so I started reading some books about cancer, and I started reading some books about alkalizing your body. And I went to go see the lady who sells black salve in town here, and she got me on a green drink. You know, it's a drink with a lot of chlorophyll in it. It has kelp. I mean, it has a lot of different things in it. But it's a green drink, and the thing that she told me was. And she's documented, so it's not just her opinion. She's been doing this for 30 years, and she's helped a lot of people who've had cancer. And so she got me on this green drink, and gave me these internal pills, which are, you know, pills that you take that are black salve. And what they do is they go through the body and go on a search and destroy mission. And everything that, you know, from cancer to parasites that are in your body, it just wipes it out. And after I started taking these pills, I had spots breaking open in other parts. You know, I had another one that popped up on my back after I started taking the pills. Well, if I'd have gone to the doctor, all they'd know how to do is cut it out. Charge you $3,000 and cut it out. And then every time something comes up, then they just cut it out. And what this stuff does is that this exposes things, brings them to the surface so that you can deal with it. And so I had to start educating myself. I had to start educating myself in what I ate and what I drank and really take a look at my reckless living. Because that's really, you know, where it came from in the first place. It came from years of reckless living. And I don't think that God's trying to punish me for anything. I think that he's trying to wake me up, like it says here in the scriptures, awake you that sleep and rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And so, you know, I think that the Lord is trying to wake me up to another area of my life that I've never dealt with. Now, I can ignore it and die,